All right, well, Luke chapter 22, and I'm not going to preach long. I've only got about three pages of notes here. I want to keep this short as we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. But Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse number 14, and we're kind of jumping in the middle here of this of the Last Supper. We're going to read a few verses here about the institution of the Lord's Supper. So chapter 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This morning I'm filled with a lot of very mixed emotions. I am excited for the holiday season. I got Christmas tie number 3 in today. Got my Mickey Mouse tie on, which I was telling Silas or somebody. I've had this one. I actually wore this one in college. It's probably way past time to retire it. If you look really close, it probably is time to retire it. But I got my Mickey Mouse tie on. Billy's back for not here, unfortunately. But got the kids back from college. The kids are wrapping up their school this week. Just getting ready for the holiday season. We're wrapping up plans. We were doing a little bit of Christmas shopping Friday night, trying to knock out a few last things. And, just can't help it. The anticipation building up for Christmas celebration. So that's excitement. I look forward to observing the Lord's Supper. It's one of the highlights of the year for me. Try to do it once a quarter. Don't always succeed in that the way I plan, I'll be honest, I do not recall, maybe we have, I don't recall us doing this at Christmas time. I like to do it right before Easter, but I was kind of going back and forth. I thought, well, what better time is there? Remember, this is why he came, was to be the sacrifice for us. I don't think there's a better time to do the Lord's Supper than right here before Christmas. But at the same time, my heart is heavy for the burdens that some are bearing this morning. We have those battling illnesses. I mean, we got Charles right now in the hospital. We just had a very sudden, unexpected parting from our church family. You know, life is full of joys and sorrows. It's full of ups and downs. One of the truest, most relatable passages in all of Scripture is what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Where he said, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. And he goes into the long list of things there, and you could probably sing it along with the song, I know. But all the different things that go on. You know, there's times for good, there's times that are not so good. There's times for joy, there's times for sorrow. There's times for laughter, there's times for sadness. And I'm thankful today. Even if this ever-cycling world of ups and downs, of joys and sadness, I'm glad there are some things that never change. I'm thankful that my God does not change. His truth was true, it is true, and it forevermore will be true. His love never ceases and never wanes, unlike sound systems this morning. I see God's love throughout the events of the Last Supper, leading up to Christ's arrest in Gethsemane. I believe Christ was trying to prepare his dear friends for their world to be turned upside down in the coming hours past this. He knew he would be arrested. He knew he'd be tried. He knew he'd be convicted. He knew he'd be crucified. They did not, even though he had tried to tell them numerous times. If you, reminds me of a math teacher in school. They tried to explain it, and the light bulb moment hadn't happened for the kids. I kind of picture that with the disciples. He's tried to tell them, but it just hasn't clicked quite yet. The highlight this last evening, I think, centers around this time that's spent between Christ and his followers around a dinner table, around a meal. That meal, the events around it, were profoundly imprinted in the minds and imaginations of the disciples. John, when he writes his gospel, he devotes a lot of time, multiple chapters, to the events and the teachings of Christ, of this final evening they spend together. Many see in this a celebration of the Passover, the Jewish Passover, with all its customs and elements. I don't think that it is a Passover meal. I think that that's the next day. This is the day of preparation. Christ was killed on the day of preparation at the same time when the animal or the lambs were slain in the temple. And so this is a day early for it to be the Passover. Even still, though, what do they have to eat when they go in here? It's probably stuff prepared for the Passover. So it probably looks like a Passover meal, but without all the customs and things that go on with that. Now, the picture I have in my mind of this time, of this moment, and I know some cultures change, and they say they probably didn't sit at a table. They probably reclined on little couches, and there's some cultural things that may be a little bit different. But in my mind, at its heart, what we have here is a family dinner. These men were not just disciples. They were friends of Christ. John 15, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. But even this, they weren't just friends, they were family. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we could become part of God's family. I love this simple truth. You know, I was thinking about it. Everybody's got family. You're like me. You have family members you love, but you don't necessarily like, or if you're going to be honest. You love them, but they're not your first choice to go out and hang around. Like I said, don't judge me. You've got people popping up in your mind too. But you know what? I was thinking about with God, we're not just part of his family. We're beloved. He wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. He likes us. He doesn't just love us. We are not just fourth cousins thrice removed from God. We are beloved family. We are the children of God. You know, Christmas has become a celebration of family. We gather, we share gifts, we make memories, we eat. And, you know, this is a natural development from the fact that because of Christmas, we may become the children of God. If your family's like mine, there's always food involved. We can't help it. There's enough food to feed about four different families our size by the time we get done. And you've probably got your classic old famous family recipes. I guess Lisa's going to be stuck making sausage balls now. We've got to have sausage balls. Or Lori, I don't know who's doing that. Who's in charge of that? Probably Lisa. I haven't heard yet, but put everybody on the spot. Are we having the cinnamon rolls? We have these legendary family cinnamon rolls. We don't know where the best way I can describe them is if you were to make a cinnamon roll like an enchilada. And that's the best way I can describe them. They're soupy. It's really not a cinnamon roll, but and my mom hates them. We have some people in the family that don't care for them. I can eat the whole pan of them. It's an old family tradition that we have going. You probably have something like that too in your family, a special dish, something. You know, family and food just go together. The sharing of a meal together is a symbol of togetherness. I don't know why, and I never watched the show The Waltons, but I just picture that, you know, them all around the table. And I know I never watched it. I don't know why. All the classic TV I've absorbed in my life, I've never watched The Waltons. But it does. You know, honestly, Christmas, that enduring scene, it's I think of Norman Rockwell. I like Norman Rockwell paintings, and I think of Norman Rockwell and him. You know, that's everybody's gathered around the table. It's a family. There's plenty of food. There's joy. There's laughter. Today, we as a church family gather around a table. And, you know, we may not share physical bloodlines, unless you want to be that guy who says, you know, we are technically all related because we all go back to Noah. You know, we do. But we are one through the blood of Christ. We may have different pasts. We may have come from different backgrounds, very different in some cases. But we all have the same future through what Christ did. Luke 22, verse 14 from our text, and it says, when the hours come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, a family gathering. Matthew 26, 26, as they were eating, they're already gathered around the table. They have this moment together. Jesus took the bread, instituted the Lord's Supper. Mark 14, 22 is pretty much the same. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread. But you note here, what is it? It's this family. They're together, spending time together. The Lord's Supper is a family dinner. We come together by a shared love for our Savior and for each other. Now, I have one last thought here as I was putting this together and kind of rolling it through my mind a little bit yesterday. You know, the Lord's Supper is just a taste of something greater to come. We gather together, those present, to be able to share in this simple meal, to share these simple elements, this simple service. We come together and we do this, but I remind you, I'm firmly convinced there's a forward-looking element in the Lord's Supper. He says, do this until I come. We keep doing this, but I think it points to a time that is to come. We gather around, we celebrate the goodness of God, his love for us, the sacrifice of Christ for us. But one day, we will all be together in heaven. One day, we'll all be together celebrating the goodness of God. What a day that will be when we take part in the greatest family supper that will ever be. All friends, all family united together. What a time that will be. And we look forward to that day this morning.